Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Baldoni.
And I'm Robert Nicolesco.
Today is December 8th, 2021. I can't believe it's December.
It's almost 2022.
Almost 2022. And we're recording in the store today, so if you hear any weird noises like customers wrestling plastic, up the stairs, people under the stairs.
Oh, there's definitely people under the stairs.
For sure, people under the stairs.
I mean, why wouldn't you be here? You could read comics at night while everyone's gone.
It's true. Yeah. People over the stairs, bowling balls falling on the roof.
That's true.
That happens all the time here.
Yeah, no construction today, though, so that's good. Knock on wood. Yeah.
So we read some comics. Three comics this week.
But we should tackle the news first.
No, we always do the news second.
Oh, okay.
See, you're leaving soon and you already forgot the order of the podcast.
Yeah.
By the way, that's some news we have to tackle.
Oh.
Robert's leaving us.
Yeah, the store. Maybe we can keep doing this, though.
Okay.
We didn't talk about this.
We didn't talk about that.
Let's make it really awkward and talk.
Let's just dig into it.
Maybe. I hope that you can hear my golden velvety voice.
Aww.
Forever and
all
ever.
Right.
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
You gotta keep reading comics then.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'm done with comics, actually. That's why I'm leaving. I was just like, this medium.
You're over it.
Yeah.
It broke your heart.
No, not quite.
Okay.
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Well, this comic kind of broke my heart, so let's talk about it. Hulk number one from Donny Cates, Ryan Ottley, and Frank Martin.
Yeah. What if the Hulk exists to protect us from Banner? That's our clever cover blurb.
Oh, I didn't even read. I was like, where are you reading that?
Yeah. Okay. Just making it up. I'm good.
Making it up as you go along.
So,
Donny Cates is writing this one now, and Al Ewing has gone to Venom.
Yeah, they swapped.
They swapped.
Tag team.
Though I don't
switch.
Think Al Ewing is staying on Venom.
Oh. Okay.
I think Rom V is writing Venom.
Oh.
But he's starting there.
I mean, whatever Ewing does will be something to look for. He's proven himself to be like just one of the most solid writers.
Oh, absolutely.
At Marvel.
Immortal Hulk was awesome. It looks like Hulk is going to be shifting gears and becoming Space Hulk.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I am glad it's very different. I know people like Immortal Hulk. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of things just having an end, right? It would be weird if they kept trying to do Immortal Hulk without the team, right? Even if it was just the artist, it's like, it would be off. You know, I think it's better that it's like this 50-issue thing. That's a thing that's going to kind of live forever as that, like,
right. This
thing. Oh, the Immortal Hulk omnibus. Like, boom. That'll, whenever that happens,
right. That'll
be a huge, huge deal.
And I haven't finished Immortal Hulk, so I don't know how that was resolved, of him not becoming, like, a werewolf Hulk anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I got to like six, volume six or something out of 10, maybe. Or...
I got to like 25 issues.
Okay. Basically where I am. There's a lot of stuff to read. We work in a comic book shop.
Yeah, I know. We have to read a lot of comics. We read all of these for you.
Jeez, what a dream.
It's so hard.
It would be very hard if comics weren't fun. Because even when they're bad, they're fun. Totally. See later comic that we'll be talking about.
Oh, God. we'll get to it.
This one's not bad. It's just, it's definitely a shift.
It is a shift.
I guess we start inside. You don't really know this, but you're inside of the Hulk's body. I don't know.
The Hulk's brain.
Yeah, the Hulk is a vessel now. Right. And Banner has figured a way to remove himself. He's created three distinct personalities in himself. Banner, which is the analytical mind, the one in control. Betty, who seems to be the conscience.
Right.
And then the Hulk, which is just rage personified, and or maybe the child version of him.
Yeah.
Also.
Sure. Wouldn't there be four versions?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, there's the Hulk, the Banner, and Betty, right? Okay, and Betty's like, we can't do this, and he just screams at her, and then she disappears, because we're not really in the real world.
Yeah. The Hulk is trapped behind a wall, and he's trying to smash to get out, and that's what Betty is defending. She's like, you can't keep him trapped in there forever, and Banner's like, yes, I can. I can do whatever I want. I'm Banner.
Yeah.
I'm controlling here.
He's off the deep end. Yeah. This is crazy Banner. Mm-hmm. It's then revealed after he's explaining this all to Betty that we pull out of it, and then it's all of the Avengers and everyone, Doctor Strange, Captain America,
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Spider-Man's the one who's hey, real quick, is anyone else very confused?
Yes.
And then they kind of explain what's going on, that Banner, separated himself. So he banished the Hulk to some sort of room that he calls the engine room, where it's a VR simulation, essentially, in his own mind. And he can, at will, control the Hulk's rage.
Uh-huh.
So he can ramp it up, and he does that in the comic. He uses, infinite armies. Mm-hmm. And he just sends infinite armies at the Hulk, and then the Hulk gets mad and mad and mad. And since Banner's controlling the body, he gets to use the benefits. This is all very weird to explain.
Yeah.
I ran it by a couple extra customers before I did this to try and figure out a way to say this.
Yeah.
But I get it, and it is sort of an interesting concept. Mm-hmm, maybe read this issue twice or whatever just so you grasp the whole thing. But I do think it's kind of cool, that Banner's basically sitting on the ship of a starship, but.
Right.
Whatever, he's a ship of some kind. The Hulk is now basically a mech.
Yeah.
And he gets to sit inside the mind of the Hulk and control it at will.
Right. But he says it's... One thing I didn't get, though, of the concept, he says it's three different parts of the brain. But Banner's very mad throughout the entire...
Yeah.
The whole entire comic. So, the rage doesn't seem very separate from the analytical mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which would be a separate part.
Yeah,
right?
he specifically says, I'm not angry. I'm just here. But he's
yelling.
He has blood in his mouth
and
is screaming at people later. Mm-hmm. So he clearly, I also think Bruce Banner is not as smart as he thinks he is, which is probably, I would hope, part of the arc here is going to be about the hubris of this, because, where else do we go? He's a villain at this point. He wrecked a bunch of AIM people and stole this equipment so he could control the Hulk, surgically implanted it.
Yeah, and Tony's trying to, obviously, stop him with the Hulk smasher.
Yeah, and then this stuff, adamantium nanoparticle shrapnel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this guy's okay, I know he's trying to stop the Hulk and everything, but Tony Stark is a psychopath. How many millions of dollars did he invest into adamantium nanoparticle shrapnel?
Oh, yeah.
Goes under your skin, then reforms into whatever shape you want.
Ooh.
It's pretty gnarly.
Pretty gnarly.
If you've ever had, metal splinters in your body...
Yeah.
This is a
million times worse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, good scene in a comic.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, for
like,
sure.
Because I was like, oh, boy, that's new and freaky.
Yeah, and it, like, rips Hulk apart, but still doesn't stop him.
Of course.
Of course not.
He doesn't stop. He rips his own arm off.
He does. And then regrows it, right?
Does it regrow? No. He takes one of the Hulkbuster arms.
Oh, yeah, and just smashes it on. That's it on. Right.
like you're just like a
like
an action figure. Yeah,
yeah, he's like the Terminator action figure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his whole plan is to reach this celestial like Iron Man guy.
Yeah.
That I know nothing about because I didn't read King in Black. So, sorry, guys.
Yeah, the last, or towards the end, it does say, see King in Black. But yeah, it's this giant, really cool double page spread. I mean, the art is awesome,
oh,
by the way.
Great.
We have not talked about that, but like, the art's super, super fun. I would absolutely read anything that looked like this.
Yeah, it's Ryan Ottley, you know, Invincible. So, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. But we get this double page splash of this, like, yeah, a celestial sized Iron Man.
Yeah.
I guess powered by celestial technology.
Yeah, it says they used it when he piloted the celestial during the Null attack.
Yeah.
So
using the latest celestial energies to create a wormhole to a pocket dimension that you could evacuate civilians to in case of another event level attack. Good work, Tony.
Yeah. So we all agree that Tony's still smarter, right?
I think so. I mean, I don't know.
Look what he created.
Yeah, he's...
giant Iron Man Celestial? Jesus!
He's supposed to be the second smartest, right? And then Moon Girl's the smartest in the Marvel Universe, and what, like, Banner's like... Where is he, fifth?
Something like that.
Somewhere up there?
Yeah. It keeps getting shifted around,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, Pym? Where's that guy?
I don't know.
He used to be really smart, and then they were like, we don't like it that you're that smart anymore.
Yeah, because Reed. Reed is second?
Oh, yeah. Reed has to be smarter than Tony.
Oh, yeah. Well,
so he's this... Yeah, he's... In one of the comics, they have... It's Reed and Moon Girl, and they're talking. It's like...
Yeah.
And someone walks in, and they're like, wow, the two smartest people in the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well...
I want to see them have their Jeopardy... Reed Richards on Jeopardy. Just like not fun because
no.
He knows everything.
They'd have to have Moon Girl make up the questions.
Yeah, that's true.
I also don't like this Cyclops design.
Oh, the machine?
Yeah, of whatever this machine he's made, that Banner has made for him. That's the only part of the art I don't like. Not that I don't, you know, I like everything else, but just this...
The design
know,
on
this
it.
This lazy... Sorry, Ryan Ottley. I'm sure you're totally listening to this. But it just... Yeah, it just looks like a Cyclops armor, and I don't understand why it's...
I bet Donny Cates went, oh, he should look like a 1994 Hulk action figure. And then Ryan Ottley was like, I know what you mean. Because he does.
He does.
He does, look like... Hey, oh, do you have the VR armor Hulk? No, we just got the regular one.
Was there even VR in 1994?
Yeah, Virtual Boy.
Oh, God.
All red.
So terrible.
Just like in this, everything's red.
Yeah, sure.
Because of really rage is. Or something?
Because of rage. The rage virus.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I had fun with it. I liked it. It's no... I am interested to see where they take the Hulk, just because, I mean, who doesn't like Hulk? I like Hulk.
It's just going to be like another god... story though, right? Now he's in space and now he's a god.
I don't know. I mean, who knows what Donny Cates like? Is he gonna be there for 50 issues too? You know, does he have like a big master plan in
Probably.
Place? I would hope, and I hope there's multiple eras to it, right? Like, he's not gonna be wearing this armor for 50 issues. That doesn't make sense. Well,
what if he is?
Well, then I don't know. Then it's like the iconic. It'll be iconic in 40 years.
Let's remember, he is now called the Smashtronaut.
Yes, this story is called Smashtronaut. All the bands that are going to form called Smashtronaut now.
Nope.
they're already out there now.
All right. Well, let's move on to the other gem of the month. X-Force Killshot number one.
The only one, because it's a one-shot.
Oh, yeah, it's a one-shot.
It's a kill shot.
It's a kill shot.
Not a one-shot.
Thank God.
No double taps here.
Written by Rob Liefeld. Story, pencils, inks.
And then Chad Bauer scripted it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, as per usual. Like, Rob delivers you know, final art pages, and then is like, you figure out what's over. It's Marvel style.
Right.
You know, so, and he gets to maintain the control. You know, yeah. I get why he does that.
Yeah.
Chad Bowers, I think, scripts like all his stuff.
Right. And then Brian Valenza, Federico Blee, and Mirza
Werawan?
Yeah, all colored it. Why are there three different colors? That's so strange.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There was a lot of variants.
Mm-hmm. So many variants.
So many.
Yeah, one for every character.
Yes, and there's a bunch of characters in here.
There's a bunch of characters, but they're all... They're all the same characters.
Well, yeah, in multiple versions of... Because then you can't get mad that Shatterstar and Cable look alike.
Nope.
But, I mean, they are different characters.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Supposedly different characters.
Look, every artist has their own strengths. Liefeld is not in making characters that look different from one another. Mm-hmm. It's layouts. Which this comic has... I was paying attention to the layouts. Great layouts, but that's his thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it starts with, like, they're planning a mission in Asteroid S. I guess, Cable. I was like, S? Why is it S? Summers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't sound as good.
No.
Asteroid M? Come on.
And they're also 100 meters below sea level for some reason.
Oh, yeah, wait. Gray Malkin 2, sentient fortress of the man called Cable.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Strife is in. See?
Yeah.
It's confusing.
It's already confusing. Strife is at Asteroid S. That's who they're going to go fight.
Yes.
They are currently underwater. Underwater. Of course, as every good superhero team goes. When they need to plan a secret mission.
I mean, this is his underwater. Base. This is where Cable lives. He lives under the ocean.
Just like...
like in the abyss.
Like
I don't know.
The abyss or Submariner.
Yeah. What? Maybe he's buddies with Submariner. They're both kind of jerks.
Yeah. Sure.
And then there's a gathering of... We get like three pages in a row of like head shots.
Literally just headshots. Like, this could just be trading cards.
Yeah. Cable, Major X, Shatterstar, Domino, Warpath, Deadpool. Cable, Major X, Shatterstar, Domino, The Thing, Deadpool. Cable, Major X, Shatterstar, Domino, Venompool, Deadpool. These are multi... He basically assembles a multiverse X-Force. Mm-hmm. An X-Force, a multiversal X-Force.
Right.
Yes.
And some of these... I don't even remember a lot of these characters. Like, who is this Deadpool with the brown
I don't
on
know.
His face?
I think okay. It's just, like, alternate dimension Deadpool, and he's like, I'm not going to draw him different. You just color him different. This one's brown
That's
and blue.
That's why there's three different colorists.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Maybe.
He's like, I have to have three different colors to make it look different.
I guess so, yeah, man. That is
That's
possible.
That's so stupid.
I don't know. We
All
don't
right.
know that.
I know. I'm just saying.
But yeah, if that is the reason, that's funny. It's funny.
I'm trying to see if they act the pages look different.
I don't know.
They don't look different.
Yeah, so they attack the asteroid, all of them. There's multiple versions. We get some signature Liefeld double page splashes, some action panels.
Real quick, was the Thing a part of an X-Force team?
I don't know.
Why
just
is
think,
he there?
Because he likes the Thing, and he's like, let's just throw the Thing in there. I don't know.
So someone tell us if the Thing was part of an X-Force team, because I don't remember that at all.
But it is like an alternate dimension,
No,
right?
I know. Yeah.
So it's
was.
The and these aren't R616, because Deadpool's got like the white and the black.
Yeah, well, he was part of an X-Force team.
That is true.
Yeah.
And then they show up at the end, the Deadpool that looks just like this. Look, This comic is not about the story, people.
But
at
but
all,
there has to be some kind of relevance.
I'm trying to understand it. Yes, yeah, like
no.
Cannonball shows up, Big Beard, Cable. These are just things that are in here.
It doesn't say the Thing was part of X-Force ever.
Well, yeah, just
that the internet has told me. No.
Some other dimension, then.
Okay.
Forearm shows up. Everyone's favorite, the guy with four arms, because
right.
His name's Forearm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just really an...
I thought that was the guy from Mortal Kombat, just to be clear.
Yeah. It's a big smash fest, this whole comic. They basically just get right to it. They start attacking. There's people trading quips and violence and killing characters.
It's so confusing, though, because there's also, like, the Deadpool from the other team.
Yeah, there's, like,
an evil Deadpool that shows up, and he's fighting with
Major X. He has shoulder
pads. Yeah, he has, but that's the only, I was like, oh, wait, is that, did Deadpool, like, go bad on them all of a sudden? And I was like, oh, wait, he's wearing
pretty confused
some kind of shoulder pads, so maybe that's a good or bad Deadpool.
I read it three times, and I began to kind of understand.
Three times? Oh, God, I'm sorry.
I read them all three times.
Oh, man. Okay, then let's just get to the part where, what is it, the Venom Pool shows up?
Yeah, Venom Pool. Venom Pool not created by Rob Liefeld, but incredibly popular. I think there's like a $800 or $1,200 statue of this guy. So holy clearly shit. He's popular. I saw Rob Liefeld unbox him or something, and it was like this, like as half as tall as him. So clearly someone likes this guy.
He has the weirdest shaped head.
It's pretty strange.
Like an oblong oval.
It's a weird
very
design.
Pointy.
It looks like his eyes are taped on.
Yeah, he's got like sewn on eyes. Do we know where he came from? Do you know anything about Venom Pool? Okay,
I don't know anything about Venom Pool. He has swords. He never uses them.
Yeah, like why does Venom need swords?
I don't
know. He's got like a lashing tongue.
I don't
know. He doesn't need weapons.
Why would Venom wear this suit over his venomness? I don't think he would.
No, because he would have the black suit, right? I guess maybe this is a red suit, just like Carnage.
Oh, yeah, okay, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Making sense is not what this comic's for.
True.
You got this comic because you want to see Strife again.
I don't want to see that.
Well, yeah. You person who bought this.
Okay, sure.
If you want to see Strife again, this is your comic. Do you want to see the Zappy Eye, full page splash, Zappy Eye?
Do you think when Liefeld writes these, he's writing it for comedic purposes?
I think he definitely is having more whimsical fun than we tend to think he is. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's not sitting there being like, oh yeah, this is real serious. Like,
yeah,
I think it seems like he keeps it lighter. And then it's like everyone else puts all this on there, like blah blah blah. You're telling a story, and it's like, yo, it's called X Force Kill Shot. Like, what do you expect? Where's the story? It's like it's not what he's doing, you know. Yeah. And these are, in a way, kind of like older comics, which a lot of them didn't have stories that made a lot of sense, like.
Yeah.
Stan Lee would script great over Spider-Man and Avengers and the big ones, but sometimes the other writers, you're just like, what is this about? Because it's more done Marvel style, right? And it's a writer after the fact trying to make sense of something. I don't know.
It still has to have some kind of cohesion, though.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
To be two thumbs up, yes. It would need that, but...
Yes. Because you can make a great one-shot and still have it be cohesive and follow something.
100%.
Where this does not, and there's too many cables on every single page. So Major X at one point finally takes his helmet off. He is another Cable.
He looks just like Cable.
He just looks like Cable.
And then he reveals that his dad is Cable. And his mom is Storm. And then that's why he looks like Cable.
But he wouldn't look like Cable then. That's different genes.
Yeah. You would think. He's a different person.
Man.
He looks like Cable. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have to go any further with this.
Yeah, there's some more stuff, and then...
Oh, then Wolverine and another Venom Pool show up.
Yeah, and then another Deadpool one in the white, even though we already saw one like that.
Yeah. So they show up to help kill the Zero guy.
Who betrayed Strife. Oh no, poor Strife.
To stop the bomb that's going to kill everybody. Blah, blah, blah. They save the day. The end.
Yeah, we do exactly what he told us not to do. We're going after him. But first, who needs to reload? The end.
Oh, I do love the last little scene with Major X pursing his lips. It kind of looks like a Frank Miller-y moment.
Yeah. Like, you can see Liefeld in that face, too.
Oh,
it's funny.
It is. So what now? We do exactly what he told us to do. We're going after him. But who needs to reload?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you grew up with X-Force and were into those comics as a kid, this maybe will be what you're looking for?
It's a good comedic book, I guess, if you don't take it seriously. There's a lot of grimacing. If you want to practice grimacing, you know, and you need to work on that for your art skills, this might be a good book for you.
Oh, definitely.
There are so many close shots of Cable making faces.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would like this more if there was, like, almost none of these words.
Yeah.
Like, it... I don't know. For me personally, like, I've read a lot of Liefeld's newer stuff, and it's like, I get the same enjoyment from the images and the layouts and the action that I believe he does do exceptional. Yeah. And then the scripting will always fall short to me. It never works for me.
Yeah.
And that's always been Chad Bowers. And I mean, I don't know what Chad's working with. I don't know. True. So, but it's just, it has always been like, I kind of feel like I want less explanation to this.
Yeah.
I just kind of want to see people smashing each other, and I don't need words.
This could be a silent book.
I wish he had written it as a silent book.
It would have been better.
Or like the first page is just like Cable like, yo, we're at the bottom of the ocean. Now we got to go to the asteroid. Yeah. Team. Go, and then just smash, 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 smash.
They could have even just, like, shown each of the characters, like, you know, just how they did in the old books. Like, these are the characters in the book.
Yeah,
line. And then it's like, let's go, team, and then just, you know, fighting. Damn. And that's it. That would have been so such a better book.
Liefeld, if you're listening, make a silent comic. That would be super good. Yeah. That's, like, legitimately, like, there's a lot of potential there.
Absolutely. All right, well, we just saved Liefeld's career.
Silent!
All right. Let's
I think he's doing okay.
He's gonna do all right.
I think
that guy's gonna be good. I can't wait for the Major X show. Here we go. All right. Wonder Woman Historia. This is definitely our gem of the week. I do have a bunch of notes for this one.
Yeah, this thing's wild. This is a wild comic.
Is the Wonder Woman book we have been waiting for. This book has been 3 years, 4 years in the making.
Oh, wow.
It was first announced in 2018, I believe, when they basically announced the DC Black Label books. This was the first book that was announced. And then we just didn't hear anything for a long time. And they were working on this the entire time.
I know. I mean, the second you said that, I'm like, oh, that's because this guy was drawing this.
Yeah.
Because this stuff is crazy, crazy. Like, I mean, what's going on in, like, some of the tiniest little panels is, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of detail going on every inch of this thing is wild.
It's absolutely beautiful. This is the most gorgeous Phil Jimenez art I have ever seen. So this is going to be a 3-book DC Black Label series. And unfortunately, though, it's not going to be all drawn by Phil Jimenez.
Oh, no.
I know. I mean, it's going to be some other great
artists. I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Who are all working on it the same amount of time that he has. So,
is it a different artist for each one?
Yeah.
Oh, do we know who the other ones are?
Yes. Nicola Scott is going to be one of them. And she's worked on Wonder Woman pretty much her entire career. So she knows Wonder Woman like the back of her hand. Cool. And I believe Jean Ha is going to be the other artist. So both are very, you know, rich in colors and in artistry. So
that'll be cool to have a different vibe to each one of them.
Yeah, because they're both doing different parts of the history.
So, okay. Yeah, this is like, I mean, I have not really read a lot of Wonder Woman comics. I've read some of the like original stuff, and that's about it. Like random George Perez ones here and there. Like this is, I don't know, is this the established history or did Kelly Sue like come up with this?
No, this is like, if you haven't read any Wonder Woman comics yet, then you can just pick this up and read this, and this is like the retelling of the history.
Okay.
And actually it's interesting you said that about the George Perez, because that's probably the only thing that this takes from is from the 87 series of history. It's from that. So,
okay, because I mean, the whole idea that I mean, my synopsis that I wrote down was like, angered by years of oppression, subjugation, and suppression against women, the goddesses go to Zeus to try and change things.
Yeah,
Mm-hmm. And Zeus is characteristically, like, flippant about everything.
Of course.
I thought the writing there and stuff was, like, super good. He's, like, super demeaning in a very, like, realistic way. He totally feels like someone's, like, patriarchal dad sort of thing.
Yeah.
And him being like, oh, my lovelies, you... when your bosoms are filled with passion, you look so lovely. Like, just, like, very gross stuff. He's sitting there with his, like, bulge and stuff. Yeah. Like, leg spread, big old bulge. It's very, like, has, like, an icky feel. And to pull that off with, like, these psychedelic gods and stuff was pretty cool. Because, like, everything looks cool.
Oh, yeah, it's gorgeous. And the goddesses are, it's like Hestia, Artemis, Demeter, Hecate, Aphrodite, Athena, and then Hera, of course, which is his wife. Not that he doesn't, like, marry everybody, but...
Yeah.
So, and yeah, and it's actually in the mythologies, and that's how he totally always treats all of them like that, too. Like, he just, like, they ask for shit, and he's just like, nah, like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, they're like, why is this happening? And he's like, listen, I'm sorry you don't understand, but there's a reason for it, because I came up with it.
Exactly,
Yeah, it's really, really effective, I thought. His depiction and all of their depictions.
Yeah.
All the other gods, like, jump in, and they're like, what? Men did cool stuff?
Right.
Someone says to, I think it's Selma Hayek's character says it to Lady Gaga's character, like, men are rarely as smart as they claim to be. And then these, like, three women were, like, laughing. And then there was a guy in there, and, like, we couldn't tell if it was, if he knew them and he was just messing with them, or if it was literally, like, he sounded serious. He was like, it's not that funny. Like, he was like, it's not funny. And I was like, guy, like, what? Like, you're
the guy in the theater?
In the theater. These three women are laughing, like, they were laughing very boisterously at that line, which, like, okay, I mean, it's, it's funny, whatever, but like, they were being very boisterous, and then he's like, it's not that funny. Like, and I was like, guy, you are that, like, what are you doing? But that's what, like, this guy showing up, Herodotus and Thalidias wrote histories of war, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're all, like, trying to defend, like, what men have done.
Yeah.
And Zeus.
Right. They're gonna, I mean, Zeus is the biggest gaslighter of all. So, so all of these guys are going to come to his defense.
Yeah, they'll be like, hashtag, hashtag not all men.
Yes, exactly.
Not all gods. Hashtag not all gods.
Yeah. Not all these dudes are gonna do that to all of these women. Because basically, they're all of these women that have been, you know, like, grieved or raped and murdered and all, like, all of this shit has happened to them.
Yeah, just the history of female suffering.
Women. Yeah.
And they're just, they basically just present that to him in like, their god-like PowerPoint. And they're like, hey, all this is messed up. Why?
Yeah.
And it just, he does nothing.
No.
Which is, you know, a good depiction of a god, right? Mm-hmm. Not like, I don't want to see just kindly gods, because that doesn't make sense.
Right.
In the world we have, right? There's so much going on.
Yeah.
And then so they decide to rebel and... Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially betray his word.
Yeah.
And they gather together, but Hera does not come with them because that is her husband. And though she believes in
their cause,
she will not betray him in that way.
Yeah, because she knows what will happen.
Yes. She can see the future and she knows.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't, right? But they're still all mad at her, as you should be.
Right. So they go off on their own, and they start creating the island of Themyscira.
Yeah, they go to, where do they go? They go to, like, Tartarus, at the Well of Lost Souls.
Yeah.
Like, pretty cool, like, just the greater mythology stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, she's taking, so Kelly Sue is taking from all of these parts of Greek mythology and, like, rebuilding it, and just with such a rich history. And I did a... study. My mom was, like, super into Greek mythology when I was growing up.
Oh, cool.
So, like, taking all of these pieces, I was just like, oh, this is so rich and so amazing. And just, like, having all of that, like, flooding back into my memories was just so cool.
I bet if I knew more of this stuff, it would be, like, because it felt very mythic. Like, and not in, like, a, you know, like how Jack Kirby tells, like, he believed in the whole, like, you know, these superheroes are myths and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, the storytelling choices were still very, like, action-driven storytelling. This feels like I'm reading a book of mythology.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely. It feels like I'm reading the story. I'm reading the story, you know? Oh, okay, this is this myth.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, that's why, you know, in the beginning I was saying how it feels like you could tell how long this took to write.
Yeah.
How long it took to flesh out.
Oh, definitely. There's no bloat or anything. This is clearly her going absolutely as hard as she can. Like,
oh, yeah. Because even Hippatala, she's like a real character as well in Greek mythology. She was a daughter of Ares and I think Atra, I think that's how you say it. She was queen of the Amazons and sister to Antope and, God, I'm going to mess up these names so bad. Sorry, Melanippe? So I'm sure that's going to come back up into it as well. Because, you know, in Wonder Woman's history, Ares comes back as her brother, I think, to try to kill her.
Oh, to kill Wonder Woman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he is one of Wonder Woman's, like, biggest foes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, I've seen him in the animated series.
Yeah.
He shows up, yeah.
Right. So, and then we get introduced to Hippatala in the book, too, right? You know, as a very scary introduction as she gets tortured by these soldiers. Yeah.
A lot of this is pretty scary.
Yeah.
And, like, the goddesses have... It's pretty rare to have something, like, actually evoke otherworldliness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they did.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, it's pretty crazy. Like, they just don't look like designs that...
No.
They don't look like designs. They look like this, like, what am I looking at? Like, one of them, which one is, just looks like gnashing blades and, like, all that stuff. It looks freaky.
Oh, yeah. Is that the Hecate?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, she's the goddess of death.
Yeah, so it's, like, very freaky looking and unsettling, like...
Yeah. Well, then they each have their own tribes, too.
Yeah.
So each of the goddesses have, it's like five women in their tribes as well.
Yeah, to start their rebellion, they, like, create the island, and then each one of them give a little bit of themselves and, like, combine this together.
Yeah.
And then each one of the goddesses have five Amazons.
Right.
At first, I guess.
At first, yeah.
But this is like the initial batch or whatever.
Right.
The first batch of them.
First batch of Amazons.
And then you get like a spread of each one of their first, each one of the goddesses' first Amazons. Mm-hmm. So we like, the first Amazon is called Penthesilea, you know. Mm-hmm. Io, born from Hestia's vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Menelipe from Hecate. Helene from Athena.
Pythia.
That looks so crazy.
It's so gorgeous. From Aphrodite.
And then from Artemis, queen of wild things, is born the Amazon called Antiope.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get like crazy spread with all of them. Just none of this stuff. This could never have been a monthly comic.
No, this could never be a monthly comic.
The details are crazy. The colorists are going off on this. Like this.
Yeah.
This is the one that should have had the three colorists. How many do they?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a high. There is three.
Yeah,
Hi-Fi, which is a company,
mm-hmm.
and then Arif Prianto and Romulo Fajarudo Jr.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, this is like a task that one color is too big.
It's too big, and there's so much detail to it.
And it's all digital coloring, but like this has got to be the best digital coloring job I've ever seen.
Yeah, it actually reminds me a lot of the Odyssey.
Oh, O-D-Y-C?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also dealing with Zeus and gods.
Exactly, and it could have been influenced, too, and that's Matt Fraction, too.
Oh, yeah. So. I wonder if she read her husband's book.
What if she read that one?
Or she probably never saw it. Yeah. I forgot about that one. That one's really cool. Like,
and the colors are very similar, too.
Yeah.
Very psychedelic as well. But yeah, I cannot wait to read more of this and see where it goes on the second issue.
Yeah, and there's a lot
only
more.
Just get and I don't want to completely spoil it.
No, I just want
people to read it. But even just the last, again, I'm not going to spoil, but it's just one of the most gorgeous pages in comics, and it's so powerful. And I really hope that people go out and just get this.
It's like Frazetta or something.
It is. I want it on my wall.
And then there's the guide in the back, which is really cool. It's also really cool to Because I was like looking at this book and I'm like, what do the inks look like? What does this look like? Yeah. I can't. Mm-hmm. It's just so much going on. Yeah. So it's cool to see like just his inks in the back. And yeah. This gives us a rundown of all the goddesses, five Amazons that they each have, and yeah. like characterize each one of them briefly. Really cool. Like kind of,
you know. Yeah, it gives you some good background on it too.
Yeah, yeah.
And this has been one of the best reviewed comics too, I think, in recent years. It's such high praise. Which,
yeah, I would imagine.
Congratulations to the team on that. So it's like basically we have Batman Year One, you know, and now we have Wonder Woman Historia. That's what they're saying.
She does have, yeah, I mean, we got to see where it's going, but it, yeah. This definitely has the potential to be a book that it's like in 20 years, I'm like, hey, check the, oh, you're Wonder Woman here, check this out.
Because
like,
her background's always been really foggy.
Sure.
You know, she's
made
never,
of clay. Yeah. She was born, actually. Right. Like, even me, I'm like, what? What's going on?
Exactly. So it's never been quite clear. So she's kind of needed something like this.
Sure.
Like, so we could grasp onto. I guess, hopefully this will be it.
I wasn't even thinking about it in terms of, like, literally a year one.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, it is, like, this is how it started. Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, super cool.
Super cool. All right. Let's get to some news. There wasn't too much this week, but... All right, we'll talk first about Spider-Man. We watched the Spider-Man Spider-Verse
Across the Spider-Verse, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very short trailer. It was kind of unexpected, I thought.
Yeah, it just... They just, like, dropped it.
They dropped it.
It's gorgeous. It starts with, like, Miles in his room. Does he have... Maybe I'm forgetting. Does he have, like, telepathic powers?
No.
Like, why were all those things floating? Was that just because of the portal?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Because that confused me. I was like, he can, like...
He can make himself invisible, though.
Oh, that's what it is.
The stealth suit.
Well, whatever. Anyway, Gwen shows up. Miles is a little bit older, which is really cool to see, like, the subtlety to that. But you can tell, like, the second you see his face, you're like, oh, yeah, he's, like, a year older or something.
Yeah, he looks, a couple of years older.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. I mean, he is a teenager, so it could literally be that time.
Yes.
it could be 3 weeks later. And it just...
I know, that's
Hey, Gwen!
The kids that come in here and we're like, who are you?
Yeah. But basically she shows up and is like, hey, I told you I'd maybe be back. And he's like, I didn't know I'd see you again. She's like, well, I need your help. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm grounded. And she's like, well, is Spider-Man grounded? And then it cuts to like him falling through a portal and he goes to 2099. And then the animation style is different, and I was, like, blown away.
Yeah,
like, the other stuff, amazing. I was like, good to see, yes. But then when it got to that stuff, I was, like got, like, emotional, because I'm like, fuck yes. Like, these movies are so amazing, like, visually.
Yeah.
Like, watching Into the Spider-Verse in the theater, like, that first time, I was like, dude, 2001 The Space Odyssey is not as psychedelic as this movie.
It was so
like,
cool.
Like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
So, supposedly, Silk and Jessica Drew are coming into this one.
Cool.
So, that'll be good to see. That's all they've really said so far. There's not much information. We know it's 2099, obviously.
I'm sure maybe the others will stop by, but honestly, I'd be interested if, like, I mean, I love Spider-Ham and Noir and the Japanese one, but it's like, they don't need to be in this one.
No, because they're going into a different universe.
Yeah.
Right? So,
we don't need
to
see them.
It's coming out October 7th, 2022.
I'll be there.
It was supposed to be out April 8th, 2022, but obviously pandemic pushed it back further.
Wow. Well, we have a Spider-Man movie coming out before then.
So we'll be okay. We did hear that those tickets were selling for $25,000 for opening day.
Yeah, but I mean... Who's that person?
Who is that person?
Jeff Bezos's nephew.
Oh my
or
God.
Something, you know.
Oh, they have more money than...
Who's buying that?
Yeah. And it has to be for something at, like, the Chinese theater.
Yeah, a special event or something.
A special event, but that's insane.
I mean,
$5,000.
The buzz on this movie is huge, right? I mean, it's, like, unprecedented pre-ticket sales.
Yeah. We're talking about Spider-Man No Way Home, by the way.
Yeah. The other Spider-Man one. they are confusing. I don't know.
I'm going to just say it, though. I still don't think that Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield are in that movie, and people are going to be so mad when they come out of that theater. Look, if they are, I'll be pleasantly surprised. I think Miles Morales is going to be in it.
I think this is what happened. They weren't in it. The villains were. And then everyone went, oh my God, Toby and Andrew are in it. And then Disney went, oh shit. And then they got them for two days.
One scene.
Yeah.
And that's where that like weird invisible scene is.
If that wasn't the plan originally, yeah. I feel like they had to, because at this point, if you were to release that movie and they're not in it,
people are
like, that's like literally the first thing every single person said. Tobey Maguire is coming back, blah. Like Andrew Garfield and him are going
to
be back. Like it's like that's
but
what people want.
Be based around that because of the auto thing,
yeah.
Right? Wouldn't the story have to be based around that?
You would think, unless they're coming up with some weird thing where like multiple Spider-Men can't exist in 1 year. Who knows, right? Who knows? Because just like time travel,
right.
None of this stuff is real, and it
or
doesn't
they
make
just
sense.
Never thought of it, and like because everyone was basing that around Otto saying like you're not my Spider-Man or whatever,
yeah.
And it's just like yeah, he clearly is not your Spider-Man.
No,
like, he takes out his face mask and he's not your Spider-Man.
It's very strange, different universes. His name's still Peter Parker.
Still Peter Parker.
His aunt is still Aunt May.
Right.
Weird. You're like DNA is different. You're a different guy.
And you're younger.
Yeah. I don't know.
I still think it could be Miles because of the whole invisible.
I mean, it'd be really cool. I feel like because they did announce another trilogy with Tom Holland, I feel like they won't introduce Miles as soon.
Oh, they did? When did they do that?
Oh, yeah. Well, we can talk about that. Well, Amy Pascal, the producer of the Spider-Man movies at Sony, just really casually in an interview, it did not seem like I saw an article because they were like, was this a press event?
Yeah.
Was like, is this intended or did she just like, she was stoked and just said it? Uh-huh. But they have announced with Tom Holland three movies.
Wow.
Three more.
So Tom Holland's a big old liar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe he'll be done by 30, but he is only 25.
He is only 25. That's true.
He'll probably be 32, and then it's like, okay, I'm retiring now, guys.
And we're back from that unorthodox break.
So, yeah, there's a lot of Spider-Man movies that are coming out, and you're going to go see them, so we don't need to tell you about them.
We don't. Sinister Six. Cool.
Yeah. Animated Miles Morales movie. Cool.
Yay. Tom Holland beaten and battered.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. In the movie, not in real life.
No. Poor kid.
Poor
he's so
kid.
Nice.
He's so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, always crying on stage about things.
We feel for Peter.
About?
I don't know. Childhood trauma, like everybody?
I don't know. Zendaya's always beating him.
Oh, no. That would be so sad.
It would be so sad.
Yeah, that would ruin her career.
She seems like a nice girl.
She's a nice kid. They're nice kids. Just leave them alone. Paparazzi.
Aww.
Leave him alone. In the movie and in real life.
True. That's right. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we got? So we thought this was a thing, but apparently it's not because it's all in the wording, Robert told me.
Yeah. If, maybe, possibly, when, if there's a chance that Daredevil maybe will be in the MCU, it will be Charlie Cox, said Kevin Feige.
Uh-huh.
But no announcement as to if Daredevil will be in there.
Yeah, and which show and when. But it could be.
It better be a show.
It better be a show.
Because I don't want to see Daredevil fight dragons or go to space or have any sort of ridiculous over-the-top stuff that would happen in a movie.
He could be in Spider-Man because that's New York.
He could.
Yeah. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be in one of the shows because it could be She-Hulk.
I hope. I hope he's just standing there and he's like, going to have a big day today, huh, Jessica? And she's like, whatever, Matt. Like they're rivals.
Her name is
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Oh, what
I'm
do I
Jessica.
Say? Oh, yeah, you're Jessica. Well, I know that.
Well, it's a common thing to confuse Jessicas and Jennifers.
I didn't know this. I'm sorry. Please don't tell She-Hulk. I like my bones.
Or Jessica Drew. She's also in...
Well, she's cool.
She's cool, and she's
also
in New York.
She might show up.
Yeah.
Well, they're all in New York. Most of them.
Not all of them.
Well, just most of them. Tom Hardy's
in... What about the West Coast Avengers?
Yeah, yeah, Tom Hardy.
They're all on the West Coast.
Yeah. So, I hope we get those soon. Where's Wonder Man?
Wonder Man. He's dead.
Yeah, and a pacifist. Yeah. That was... but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do think a show will be the right way to go. Yeah. I think it has to be, like, a different tone, you know? Like, it has to just be... I mean... darker than any MCU
or light in the She-Hulk case, because they're just like he shows up as a lawyer and they're just going back and forth in the courtroom together.
Yeah, no,
that would be great.
That's fine. I meant for a Daredevil show.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, no, he can be bantery and fun with Jessica. Yeah.
Jennifer,
sorry.
Now you're
I never read a She-Hulk comic. I have that one where she's like, I'm going to tear up your X-Men comics.
Yeah.
That's the only one I have.
You have to read when she's just being a lawyer.
I would love that. Yeah. Oh, wait, I have read the Polito stuff. Yeah. That stuff's good.
That one's so good. Yeah. That's my favorite one. And I think they're going to take a lot from that one, too.
Good. Oh, yeah, she opens her own law firm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good, that's a good angle.
And she defends superheroes. Dun, 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 dun. Is this your law and order? No, we're going to get sued.
Oh, no.
Don't do that.
Oh, no.
They're very serious about that. Dick,
I know.
Come
they're,
and get you.
They're all trained lawyers and cops. What's his name's going to shake me down?
Dick Wolf?
No, what's his name? I don't know his name. The one that everyone loves his
Stabler?
Butt. Everyone loves his butt. Yeah, Stabler.
Okay. Everyone loves his butt.
Yeah, they're like, 60-year-old man, juicy butt.
Are you That's talking about Jimmy Smits?
No, the internet loves Stabler, Elliot Stabler. They're like, he's a DILF. That's the internet.
He looks like one of my exes, so I can't.
Well, I'm sorry.
Every time I see him, I'm just like, all right, anyways. we also have more news about BoJack Horseman? No, I don't like that. Hawkeye. Let's talk about Hawkeye. You only watched the very first episode.
The very first episode.
You didn't watch the double episode.
No, just saw the busted clock tower and her pretending to be a waiter and all that stuff. It's good.
It's good.
I like
it. It's very Christmassy.
Yeah.
Time for the holidays, so it's nice.
I mean, and it makes sense with Hawkeye being a family man that his show would be the most family friendly of all of them. Well, I don't know where it goes, but.
I don't think Yeah.
No? Okay.
Well, maybe. I don't think where it's going, though, it's going to be that way.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. He did, kill a bunch of dudes.
He did. Yeah, there's a lot of murder.
My family's dead. I can kill now. Oh, wait, my family's alive. Let's pretend that never happened.
Yeah. And Haley Stanfield?
I think. Yeah. Stanfield? I don't know.
Stanfield? Well, she's great. Last time I saw her, I think, was in True Grit, which was many years ago. But she was fantastic.
She was 14.
Then. She was 14, yeah.
She's an adult
Steinfield.
Now.
Steinfield, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, she's an adult, and she's great. I mean, she's super charismatic, and I can't wait till she's, I don't know, leading the Young Avengers? I don't know who's going to lead.
Yeah.
But she will be on there.
She will be.
Her and Florence Pugh will be so good. Just
definitely. Like, really dynamic together, yeah. I think.
You are so silly.
Yeah.
What is this? The purple. What? What do you do?
Maybe she'll just be wearing that Ronin outfit the entire time.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that guy's a murderer.
Yes.
I mean, I definitely think about that when he's like sitting there with his kids and stuff. And I'm like, you like really dug that katana into that guy's chest cavity, dude.
I mean, he shoots arrows at
No,
people.
I know. I know.
It's just like when you talk about, like, Black Widow. Like, we have that, like, little kid Black Widow book. And I'm like, she's an assassin.
She's an assassin trained to murder. And she does it. And she also, it wasn't like, you have to leave this world behind when you join the Avengers. It was like, no.
That's your job.
Keep killing people.
Keep murdering people.
Because government.
Even Captain America.
He might have killed some people.
He definitely kills people. Like, what does he do with that shield? You think when you throw a vibranium shield at somebody,
and it hits
that
you
it
in
doesn't
the neck?
And it hits you in the neck or the head, that doesn't kill you?
We can definitely have this conversation about every character. Superman maybe is the only one who can actually ensure that people are still alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Superman, like that's his thing.
He's the only one. But like, yeah, Batman's like, they're rubber bullets, and like. Hey, what about that kid you threw into the neon sign that was twitching a bunch? He's like, he'll live.
exactly.
Okay, guy. You shattered that guy's skull. A broken skull doesn't mean you're dead. Okay.
It's just a concussion.
Okay, guy. Yeah. Serious brain damage. I turned him into a vegetable, but, you know, he's not dead. Exactly. As long as they're not dead.
Yeah. The Avengers Code, it seems to be less than the Justice League.
Yeah, I mean, Iron Man. He's like a warmonger. Like, that guy's crazy.
He has like blasters.
See our previous conversation, nanobite shrapnel. What? What sicko comes up with that?
Guy.
What are you, Ed Piscor?
Yeah.
Violence.
Well, what Christmas movies are you going to go see this year?
I'm definitely going to see Spider-Man. Maybe not on the day of, though. I guess.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy.
I don't have 25,000.
There's like 9,000 movies coming out on December 22nd.
Yeah, nothing else is really on my radar, at least that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm probably just not paying attention.
Probably not. You saw House of Gucci, though, right?
I did see House of Gucci. I thought it was really good. Lady Gaga kills it. Adam Driver's always good. Al Pacino, Selma Hayek, Jared Leto was hilarious. Like, give that guy some more comedy work to do. He was like, literally, like, the whole theater was like laughing every scene he was in.
Jared Leto.
Okay. And they are comedic scenes. Like, it's not like he just shows up in that outfit and then is like, okay, just serious actor in a serious movie. It's like, he's like, Why you be mean to Paolo? Why you do it? Why you disrespect me? He's very like, he's got like a Fredo energy from like Godfather.
Oh God.
just like heightened in his like ludicrousness. Very silly sort of person. But great movie. It was just a good movie. Yeah.
Well, good job, Ridley Scott.
Yeah, that guy knows how to make movies.
Sometimes.
It's all about the script with that guy.
He does have some bad movies. But...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, he's go down the list with that guy. He's made
some great movies,
15
for sure.
Good movies and 10 that are like, okay, these are great.
Yeah.
Like, truly.
He gets real mad about movies coming out these days. He's just like, angry old man shaking fist at cloud now.
I mean,
see,
I guess
my movie.
If he wasn't making good movies still, he wouldn't be able to say anything, but I guess he kind of is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I liked it more than the last two movies I've seen in the theater, so.
He also is doing Raised by Wolves Season 2, that's coming out, which if you've watched Raised by Wolves Season 1, I actually loved it, so.
I don't know it, no.
No? Is that HBO?
HBO.
Science fiction.
Oh,
AI show.
You probably told me about it on a previous episode.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Really
Ridley.
Good. Yeah, Ridley Scott's still doing the sci-fi as well. Movie's coming out December 22nd, The Matrix.
Oh, yeah, duh.
Resurrection.
I'll see that.
So catch up with all your Matrix.
It looks really good.
Or not. You know, you just watch the first one again. The Kingsman. Kingsman,
oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Which is, have you seen the trailer for this?
No, they're like crazy. Those movies are nuts.
Why is Rasputin a good guy?
Oh, I don't know.
He's a terrible person.
I was at Rasputin Records over the weekend, and I was like, why is this guy on the wall? Why is this the place?
Well, the owner of Rasputin Records is... So, it makes sense. Sing 2 also comes out.
Oh.
I'm sure you're excited for that one. So maybe all the kids will go see that, and we can all go see Spider-Man. I don't know.
Maybe, except kids love Spider-Man.
That's true. Damn it.
They say hi to him every day.
I'm definitely going to that first thing in the morning.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to do
it. Best way to do it.
Yeah, 11 a.m. showing.
The Tender Bar? I don't know what that is. No.
No.
Okay. It's called Warm and Memorable. That's what it is. It's a Tender Bar. What is that? And then also The Journal for Jordan, which looks like a Michael B. Jordan movie. Oh, a film by Denzel Washington. That looks nice.
He's great.
He is great.
He's directing?
Denzel Washington is directing, and it's starring Michael B. Jordan. All right. Well, those are the movies all coming out December 22nd. Looks like we have a wide variety to choose from. And, of course, Spider-Man comes out the 17th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be there.
Be there.
Or you'll miss Tobey Maguire. Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe not.
Maybe Andrew
Garfield? He'll be there regardless because I'm going with him.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, okay, cool. I'm going with Andrew Garfield.
Oh.
I'm secretly his date.
I'm chose wisely.
I seen Andrew Garfield on... was it Colbert, like, twice now. Mm-hmm. He's been on it twice in, like, the last 2 months.
Is he really nonchalant? That's how he was when I saw him.
Yeah. He's just, like one of the guys. Like, yeah. Like, the nicest guy. And his brother was on there, too. Or his brother was, like, in the audience. And his brother's only, like, 4 years older than him, but completely bald. And Colbert was like, well, it looks like who got the good genes in the family.
Yeah.
He's like, how old are you?
Oh, no.
poor Buck, poor guy. But yeah. But his brother's also, like, a lung doctor. Yeah. Like, so.
He's definitely helping the world more than Andrew Garfield. Yeah. Sorry, Andrew.
Sorry.
I know you're in Martin Scorsese movies and stuff.
I mean, and Andrew Garfield said that, too.
Well, yes.
Because he seems like a good guy.
Maybe. He was bored when I saw him at the silent premiere at the at the Castro.
Yeah.
Adam Driver was there. Scorsese was there.
Adam Driver was there.
Yeah. Thelma Schumacher was there, the editor, Scorsese's editor. Mm-hmm. But like, how can I explain this to you? This is how Andrew Garfield sat the whole time. With his like,
this is a podcast, so yeah, Robert is leaning back, like, all stretretched out with his arm above his head.
One arm hanging down behind my back. Yeah. And he was just very, like, I don't know if he was, like, bored or what, or didn't want to be there. He was very casual about everything, and then, like, Adam Driver was, like, focused.
Yeah.
The most focused person I've seen. And I was just watching him the whole time, like, just, I don't know, just attacking people's questions, like, absolutely. He's like, was I thorough enough? Boom. Like,
he was just on cocaine.
I think he was just a Marine. Like, you know, that guy's like, knows how to focus. He's like, I'm on. It was just, he seemed very professional, and Andrew Garfield seemed very not professional.
Have you seen the Centaur ad?
No.
With Adam Driver. Okay, well,
he's a fun guy.
No, I know.
He's a centaur? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the Burberry ad.
Oh, okay.
Watch that. I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm just saying, watch that.
Okay. He's a professional.
He's a professional.
Professional centaur.
Professional sexy beach running centaur.
Yeah, yeah. He brought the most sexiness to a Star Wars movie ever, right?
I mean, that's when I fell in love with him.
There had never been that before. And then it's like, he's like, I'm going to take my shirt off and look through your brain at you.
Why? You take your shirt off.
I'm looking in your brain. I'm in your brain without my shirt on.
I still think they should have been brother and sister too.
Yeah, for the final kiss. Yeah, just like, oh, I guess in a galaxy far, far away, there are different morals.
Right.
Like California, where you can marry your cousin.
Exactly. Now we brought it all back around.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Boom.
All right. To recap, we read Hulk number 1 today by Donny Cates, Ryan Ottley, X-Force Killshot, Rob Liefeld, and Wonder Woman Historia, Kelly Sue DeConnick, and Phil Jimenez.
Yeah.
Rate, review, Escapist Comics Podcast on, Apple Podcasts.
All of them. 5 stars.
5 stars,
you
please.
Have to. It won't work if you try the other ones.
No, please, please don't do that.
And tell your friends.
Tell your friends to listen.
Tell them. Send it to them.
Yeah.
Send them a link
yeah.
of this after you finish listening to it.
Absolutely.
And reviewing yourself.
Also, come like us on Twitter and...
what about... Instagram. Should we talk about the Daniel Warren Johnson signing?
Yeah.
We're signing off, but that was the other thing I thought we should bring up.
Oh, yeah,
right?
We totally forgot about that. We had an awesome signing with Daniel Warren Johnson over the weekend.
He's super nice and super cool and super talented.
Yeah, that was awesome. For everyone who came out to that, we really appreciate it. It was a very successful event. Thank you also to Felix. That's at Felix Comics Art. Is that right? Something like that.
Comics art or comic art.
I think it's comics with an X, right?
With an X? Whoa.
I think so. I could be totally off on that.
No, Felix is with an X.
Oh. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
No, it's Felix Comic Art
okay.
on Instagram. He's a rep, and then you can see some nice pictures of Daniel Warren Johnson eating some food.
Oh, cool.
And his drawings and... It was really fun, and he's just a really solid, nice guy.
Yeah, also pick up lots of signed books by him at our store.
Yeah, we got Murder Falcon, Ghost Fleet,
Beta Ray Bill
collections out and signed,
yes.
Wonder Woman,
Dead Earth.
And Dead Earth, and then Extremity, both volumes.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely come and pick those up. We got a bunch of them here. Yeah. Be a perfect holiday gift.
Read those comics. Yeah, read Look those at comics. That energetic inking.
Yeah.
It's the best. All right.
All right. Back to what I was saying. Please follow us at Escapist Comics. So I was like, I don't know what I was saying.
Yeah, do that.
Or at Jessa Balmoni. Yours.
And I'm at Robert Negoesco, Robert underscore Negoesco.
Sweet. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.